Welcome to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We stream live on the web, www.WWGH107.1FM Radio, or .com, I'm sorry. Also, you can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. I would like to start this show off today with a thought for today. Okay, now hold on. I was running my mouth and lo and behold, I'm on the air and am I ready? Not quite. Okay. Greater success in cooperation. That is the thought for today. Okay. All righty. Okay, here it is, everybody. If you think you can do something alone, either because you don't trust others to do it or because you feel you are the most qualified, number one, you will always be busy doing everything. Number two, you will be unhappy with others because they are not doing what you want. Number three, you will be dissatisfied. It is more effective to invest your time in training and developing others. There is greater success in cooperation. Oh, and I hope that was able to help someone and reach you at your point of need this Monday morning. And at this time, I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today, Pastor Roe, they call him, Rowan Anderson. He pastors and co-pastors with his lovely wife, Megan Anderson, the Gathering Place here in Marion, Ohio. Is that in the Eastland Plaza? What's that called? East Town,
yeah,
East
Land? You know, I don't, to be honest, I just tell people it's by Save-A-Lot and by
right.
And by the Salvation Army of Planet Fitness. I actually don't know the name of the, I should figure that out.
I think yeah. It's Eastland Plaza.
Okay.
I think that's what they call it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great question. I've been for 5 years. I think I need to figure that one out.
I guess it's about time.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
All
yes,
right. Indeed. Great. So how are you?
I am fantastic. I had a really good night, you know, was able to sleep through the night. So that's always a joy after a Sunday morning to be able to get a good night's rest. I thank God for that. And every morning I'm able to get out of bed. It's a good day.
That's great. I can say I slept pretty good myself, always when it's raining.
I love the rain. I do. Now, maybe in July and people have their outdoor events, you know, that they're prepared for and excited about. Something about the rain. It's
right.
It's very soothing. And especially if I'm driving. I hate driving. But for some reason, when it's raining, I can drive for hours. So for those who don't like the rain, I'm sorry, but I definitely prefer rain over snow.
You know what? Sometimes I don't know the difference. I do know this, that the roads are blacker and shinier when it's raining.
Yes.
And slicker, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you can't go fast.
No.
And now, let me preface that. So when I'm driving in the rain, it keeps me awake for long distances. But I'd rather be home looking out the window and just hearing the rainfall. That's the beauty of what I enjoy.
I'm sure your lovely wife likes for you to be home and your, well, I was going to say children, but you recently married off a daughter, didn't
you? Yes. My firstborn, Pumpkin.
How did that feel?
It feels great. It really, really does. And she has an amazing son, amazing husband. Mm-hmm. I've got a phenomenal son-in-law, just really a great couple. And people know, of course, I'm a pastor, a person of faith. To God be all the glory.
Parenting
is not easy. And so I always take a win. When I can get a win, praise God.
Absolutely.
There were some battles, you know, but I thank God for the win. Yeah.
You probably wouldn't be as appreciative as you are if there weren't any battles along the way.
You know, that is such an amazing truth. And the reality of that is that it has to be something you experience. That statement is so true. Because we have experienced it. So you hear it and you're like, man, that's so right. You wouldn't appreciate it if you didn't have any battles. But when you go into the battles, you're like, what in the world is this?
And what happened?
You know, and so it's when you come out of the battle, you're enjoying it. So,
right.
Yeah. But,
absolutely.
But yeah, but God's been good. And so I still got my youngest daughter who makes it for the both of them. And
I'm sure she does.
Oh, yeah. She is. They're so much alike, but yet they're so different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that kind of goes back to what you even said in your opening thought for the day, which I really love, was greatest success is in cooperation, you know? And so being able to really cooperate with my wife and just other people around, you know?
Right.
My children's success is not just because of me. It's the Lord and other people that have came alongside of us and partnered with us. And so I give shout outs to all of them. You know who you are. You know, thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We need other people's prayers and to partnership with us in raising our children and even in the ministry.
Oh, big time.
That's a great responsibility that God puts on any man, but you're not alone, are you?
Oh, and the moment you start thinking that, which is interesting because pastors oftentimes feel lonely, you know, and yet they're in a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is because there's various reasons, obviously, but I think one of the ones is just really acknowledge the people that are around you. And again, back to that quote you said earlier, is realizing that you need to delegate and let people, you know, get involved in your life. And that takes risk.
Right. Yes, it does.
It takes a lot of risk. So, because if you've been hurt, mm-hmm. you know, and so, it really requires you to have a community of people around you that encourage you, that celebrate you, but at the same time as well, you know, they give you great feedback, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And so we don't always like that. But,
no.
But when it comes to a place of honor and a place from someone's heart, that's exciting.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's exciting.
And I was telling my daughter, Peach, the other day, mm-hmm. I said, the truth hurts.
It does.
Well, it shouldn't, but it does. I mean, it does. Even when God knocks on your door.
Right.
It's okay. Get this together now. That hurts.
Right.
Wow. God had to personally get on me about something that mm-hmm. I did and I need to get together. But, yes, it hurt. But the fruit of it, like you said, is joy and it's peace and it's confidence. Right. And we have to cooperate even with him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if that's the whole concept of joy, right? Because
yes.
Joy is not necessarily feeling happy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, because you just said earlier that truth hurts. And
yes.
If you look in the scriptures in Hebrews, I love this scripture because it helps me to understand that truth hurts, but there's a purpose behind it.
Yes, it is.
It's one thing to be hurt and no purpose behind it, right?
Right.
So it's pain with no purpose. Each equals prison, right?
Right.
But Hebrew writes and says, hey, we have earthly fathers who chastise us, who mm-hmm. corrects us, and they do it for their own thing. But God does it to bring about a harvest of righteousness.
Yes.
And that, we welcome that.
Yes,
and
we
so
do.
Therefore it hurts because it even says that. No chastisement at the moment is pleasurable. It's
right.
It's painful.
Yes, it is.
And I'm like, yeah,
yes,
you know.
It is.
But if you want to achieve great success in any area, there's required discipline. Like an athlete, you know, if you look at Bolt, you know, the Jamaican runner, I think the greatest athlete, you know, Usain Bolt, and he talks about his training. He talks about throwing up sometimes, you know, because the training is so hard, and that's painful. But man, I'm sure he likes those Olympic gold medals that are around his
around
his neck, right?
You know.
And so, if we see it as that, pain has purpose behind it, and oftentimes we may not know what the purpose is, but we know that there's purpose behind it. And it's to really get us to that place. So you're right; truth does hurt.
It hurts. She was like, well, it should. And I'm like, where you been? You're 50 now. Where have you been? Under a rock? You know, but it just, I mean, and that is the truth.
Right.
You know, but like you said, there's fruit behind that.
Correct.
There's deliverance behind that. It may take you a minute or right. you know, a time to get by that, but or past that, but right. then you look back at it and say, "I'm so glad they told me."
Oh, absolutely.
I'm so glad.
Right, and part of that is the part that hurts is understanding that truth also requires love.
Yes, it does.
Right, and mm-hmm. so it's recognizing, that's the purpose behind it. It's because you love me.
Right.
While you're telling me the truth.
Right.
And that's the part that really brings the remedy to the pain. You know,
right.
it's like,
absolutely.
This hurts, but you know, I love you. And so it's not abusive love. It's a love really of seeing you develop the best potential that's inside of you, right? Which I call untapped potential. And I never thought about this before, Minister Linda, but we look at people with potential and people can die with potential still in them.
True.
What I've shifted to now is I want to tap into the untapped potential. That's really where life starts happening.
Yes, it does.
That's really where we start to see, speak truth, because you're speaking to the untapped potential inside of me.
Right.
Oh, man, that's exciting.
Absolutely.
You know, and Whoa. So that's what you're telling your daughter. Hey,
yeah.
there's untapped potential.
Yes.
And so what you feel, the pain, is the tap. You know what I mean? It's me pushing
digging
through,
in there,
digging
trying
in
to
there.
Gap.
Yeah, that's good. Digging in there. We'll use the. We'll say it that way.
Yeah, it's like, you know, digging a well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I never thought of that before.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know,
that's good.
God is so magnificent. Yeah. I just, you know, He overwhelms me every day.
Yeah.
Okay, and then sometimes I get up and I don't have time to do my devotion and things like that. Then I'm repenting all day, and then I thought this morning, it's not that I've done something wrong. I missed you.
Right.
Yeah. I realized this morning, I miss him when I'm not doing
right.
that, you know, so mm-hmm. then I have to make up. I try to make up for it, like,
right.
you know, and enjoy it and let him inhabit my entire day.
Yes.
But, you know, even during the day, you're saying, well, thank you, Lord, for this and that. So that's still prayer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's still time with him. But it just kind of hit me today. I kind of missed you.
Oh, yeah. And that speaks because you've been intentional. Right. So when
yeah.
you're intentional with your time with the Lord, you create intimacy.
Right.
And that's the part like, oh, man, I missed that intimate
yeah.
time with you.
Yes.
Because the truth is, and I mean, the reality is, He's with you wherever you go.
Right.
You're speaking from a place of where I think all those who are listening would have to say, in every relationship, we want a place of being intentional because it creates intimacy.
Right.
And intimacy, I heard one person define it this way, into me you see.
Yes.
You
yes.
know? I don't yes. know who made that, but it's
either.
Great. You know, I'm gonna I would love for that to be me, but I'm not taking credit for that at all.
Right. JC
you know?
Says
yeah.
it all the time.
Was it him? Yeah, so it must have
I
been
don't
him
know
that
it came
yeah.
from him into me. See, like,
yeah.
okay, I got you.
You know, so perhaps it came from him or I don't know, but it's such
it's powerful, isn't
it? It is. It really is powerful and
intimacy.
Yeah, and that's the part that gets us along. And so when we take a look at parenting that we began, you know, this program with, and now we look at it just even our relationship with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
That's really the goal, is that we cry out for someone to look inside of us and see who we are.
Yes.
And nobody does it better
Ugh.
Than Jesus Christ.
I know.
No one does it better.
That's true.
And I can make that statement without excluding somebody, without, you know, trying to not respect somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally saying that I just don't know from my 50 years on this planet anyone who does it better. I don't.
I don't either.
You know, I know someone they can compare it with and they can try to say, well, it's same, similar.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
God said, so you can't compare
you
him
can't
to
compare
nobody.
Nobody.
Who can you compare with me?
That's it.
Nobody.
Can you, let's imagine that thought really just ran through the souls of every, definitely people are listening, but even
right.
just everybody in the state or even in this world.
Right.
If that really became a reality. And so I believe that was God's intention from the beginning. I thought right from the beginning, as you know, I'm a big believer in the first three chapters of Genesis.
Yes,
I think if you
yes.
want to read anything, it's right there. And you saw when he says, let us make man in our likeness and our image.
Right.
Intimacy was birthed right at that moment.
Yes, it was.
Right in that moment. And then you see in Genesis 2, 7, and 8, when he just gives the details of what
yes.
he said boldly in chapter 1. And you look at that. And so that's why we long we yearn for this relationship with God because it's intimacy that we want.
Mm.
And that's powerful.
That is powerful. That's
absolutely life-changing. Yeah, it's a game changer.
Yes, it is a game changer.
And I think it makes nothing. It makes you then a better person to have greater success and cooperation. Then, you know, back to what you started earlier. And so it's really that greater success. Because I think you have to qualify success just because how people see success, right?
True.
And so one of the many books that I'm or materials that I have that I'm, you know, working through to create and develop books is A Life of Good Success.
Mm-hmm.
And so intimacy then is critical to a life of good success.
Okay.
And so it's that, because if to qualify, because when you tell someone success, they can see success based on I made it to the top.
Yeah.
I don't care who I knocked down to get there.
Right.
I had success because my ladder was leaning against the right wall, so to speak. You know, success could have been, someone manipulated stuff and did things like that. That's not success.
No, it's not.
No. And so that's why I qualify with good success. And I use good as an acronym. And so good for me really is God ordains our destiny.
Yes.
That's good success. You recognize now, I want what God has for me.
Right.
And so I'm not competing with nobody.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, it's all mine. What he has for me is mine. It's all mine. You see what I'm saying? Why not want it, right?
Because you obtaining what God has for you, Minister Linda, empowers me to go after what God has for me, because now I have a visual of what someone expresses as joy. And I say, how do you have the joy? Because I got what God has for me. God ordains our destiny. And so that includes me in it. So when it doesn't say God ordains my destiny. It says God ordains our destiny.
Our destiny.
And so in me getting my own helps us to get our destiny together.
Yes.
And it goes back to that cooperation.
Yeah, it does.
You know what I mean? And so that is what excites me. And so that's why when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, man, it's such a good day.
Every day, right? No
you
matter
what's
going on in that day, it's good.
And that is a mindset of intimacy. That's what it really is.
Well, he had to personally tell me. It's a good day to be alive.
Come on.
He told me that one morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what I had in mind that morning. I don't know if I wanted to get up complaining about something, the weather, whatever it was. But he said, it's a beautiful day to be alive.
Right.
I'm thinking, ooh, yeah.
Oh.
Right about that.
Yeah. And it's.
To be alive.
Is such. And that's even different than living.
I guess so.
You know what I mean? Because if someone says, man, you're living, it's just like, okay, you know, I haven't expired yet.
Right.
But what you just mentioned, how I see that, is that it's good to be alive. You're talking about it's good to be inspired.
Wow, isn't that beautiful? I didn't even think about that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's good to be inspired.
All right.
Because when someone says, man, you're alive, you just haven't expired yet. So you're just literally going around. And that is what we find a lot of people who are saying, you know what, their mindset, their attitude, everything like that, they're just trying to get by. They're just trying to do everything like that.
Right, right.
And it's not minimizing the challenge and the struggles. But what you just mentioned to your listening audience and what you just encouraged me on is God said it's good to be alive. And that is, it's good to be inspired. It's good to, again, go back to Genesis. Mm. It's good to have my breath breathe in you.
Oh, shut up.
Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I had to clap my hands.
You know what I'm saying?
That.
It is so good to have my breath. Oh. Breathe in you. It's like God is saying it wasn't a waste of breath.
Isn't that beautiful? Whoa.
You know what I mean?
Blow me away.
Oh my goodness. And
blow
that
me
is
away.
What, and those are the people that we need to fulfill what God has for them. And that's what creates the passion in me. And that's the reason why I pastor. Sunday I mentioned, I said,
and you're so passionate about it. But
man.
There's no way. You know, and I wonder how some people pastor and it's like, where's the passion?
Right,
you
right.
Know, let's get moving.
Oh, there it is. Right?
Yeah.
That's the whole goal. And I was speaking at a university, and one of the students walked up and she said to me, she said, man, you're authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, you bring energy, like you bring passion.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
She goes and she said this, and she says, it's authentic. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah, because it's a good day to be alive.
Amen.
If I could borrow that from you, you know, it's a good day to be alive.
Yes,
and
it
so
is.
Listening audience, just tell yourself that. Amen. Your emotions might be telling you differently, and
right.
I get it.
Yes.
Someone may be speaking truth to you, and you're hurting right now. Mm. I get it.
Yes.
Someone may have harmed you. I get it.
Yes.
Your children might be getting on your nerves.
True.
I get it. It might be a struggle, you know, just employment, and I get those things.
Right, right.
But I want to let you know what Minister Linda said is so true. And so full of love.
Yes.
That it's good to be alive.
Woo. Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. Like, and I tell people that complain.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a bad day. It's never a bad day.
No. You just got situations, man, that are subject to change.
Absolutely. Every day is a good day. It's a beautiful day.
It really is.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow. We ought to be able to say, son, the sun shines.
Yes.
No matter what the day brings.
Right. It's consistent.
The Son of God. We should always be able to see the sun.
Oh,
shining.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know.
And isn't it interesting that the sun, the S-U-N, because of God ordained our destiny, that even creation knows if I get out of line, it's not for my benefit. That the sun knows that I've been placed here.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times when the clouds block it, but the sun doesn't, oh man, I can't, it still does what it does.
Yes, it does.
And so sometimes our circumstances are just clouds. They're things that are blocking our view.
Okay.
And we think it's not there. And so God is saying, oh, I'm consistent.
Yes, he
is. You know what I mean? And so the one who made the sun shine, greater is the God who made the sun.
Right, absolutely.
And I actually heard a story about how a missionary, that's how people came to know God, was they were saying, one day they looked up and they're like, okay, the sun is consistently rising and fall. If it's doing that every day, regardless of how I feel, it's doing
right.
it.
It's
it
doing
doesn't
it
consult me.
Fail.
The sun doesn't say, hey, Ro.
Right, right.
You think, do you want me to shine today or not?
Right.
You know what I mean? You tell me what you want me to do and I'll do that.
Right, right.
No. It says I've been ordained.
Yes, it has.
Mm. To come up.
Yes.
And the only person that can change that is where we see in Joshua where he says, stand still.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Stand still.
But he trusted God enough that it would stand
still. Oh, because
still.
He recognized the one who created the sun is the one I'm talking to.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Because
the sun is saying, I only obey my creator. So if the sun can obey the creator, why can't we who are even created greater than the sun?
Oh, I don't know.
And that's because we need to live inspired.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The sun lives as it's been created.
Oh, yeah.
But we must live as inspired.
By our creator
who breathed into us. And that is where when people leave your presence,
mm-hmm.
truly, when people leave our presence, my prayer is that when people, whether they're watching us online, you know, due to their schedule, or they actually are there gathered as a community, you know, in a safe place, gathered as a community, is that they would leave and says, man, the breath of God breathed on me today.
Amen.
Like, the breath of God breathed on me today, and I was inspired for the things that I know I need to have greater success in.
Mm-hmm.
And not just we gather together for the sake of it's what we do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But we gather together because there is purpose behind your presence.
Right.
And so I don't just say that with God. I look and I say to people, there's purpose behind your presence.
Oh, yes.
And if you hold back living inspired,
true.
You rob me then of the ability, you know what I mean?
Yes,
to really see.
I do. Yes, I do.
And so
to give me what God has given you to give me.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because that's what we do. We encourage one another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we feed off one another.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's how we grow.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Wow.
And so those are things that we look at because, so whatever I'm facing. So again, I just love you to example as parenting because I'm in a new season in that area, right?
Yes, you are.
My youngest, who's going to be a senior next year, mm-hmm. Is already preparing for her exit. So I'm almost in a place of, both of my children, you know.
Empty nester.
Yeah, you know, and you know, and so with the oldest, because I tell people this. So this is my parenting in perspective. I look at things. So the first thing I look at is, as I need to partner with people who wake up in the morning and who say it's a good day to be alive.
Right.
Right. They live inspired. And so what happens is, from when I was probably my mid-teens, my early 20s, I recognized that in working with young people that there are certain things that they don't tell their parents.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They don't tell
their
parents. So I recognized that. I'm like, okay, because I was a recipient of them telling me stuff that they wouldn't tell their parents. So I figure when I have my children, there's stuff they're not going to tell me.
True.
So that made me realize I got to partner with people. Mm-hmm. Now, they can force partners on you, guidance counselors and doctors and, you know, counseling, things of that nature. But when it comes to a child's untapped potential, that's different from dealing with a child's problem.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
You see what I mean? So when we deal with a problem child, you deal with guidance counseling, those areas, and you're trying to solve a problem. But parenting a child through their potential, their untapped potential, requires a different set of support system.
Okay.
And so I recognize that I needed that, because here's the deal. Because my children need to be launched before they can leave. And that's where we have a failure to launch our children.
Right, right.
And so then when they leave, we don't feel as if they know how to soar. We don't know if they know how to make it out there.
That's true.
You see what I mean? True. And so that's why, get back to this is why I said that. That's when we come together as a community. There's purpose in your presence.
Yes.
Because you might be the one who could inspire my child.
That's beautiful.
That you can breathe on them.
Amen.
And let them know.
Amen. Yes, Lord, bring someone in their path.
You see what I'm
saying?
That
may be able to reach them where I couldn't.
Right.
Where I failed in that area.
Absolutely.
You know? And that is a good prayer.
Oh, yeah.
Because some things our children will not even receive from us.
Mm-mm, no. And it's not that, because, again, statistics shows, or if you survey them, mom and dad are still number one in their life.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, we're still the greatest influence in our children's life.
Yes.
They may not say it. We'd like for them to say it to make us more affirm, hey, you're doing a good job.
Right.
My goodness, as a pastor, you want to hear that. You know what I mean? You know? Mm-hmm. So they may not say it. But the reality is that, and what I think is neat, I was again speaking to the university, and I said, isn't it interesting that the two words that you can, and there's probably more, but the two words that you can spell that spells the same forward or backward is dad and mom. No matter how you spell it, if you spell it M-O-M, M-O-M, D-A-D, D-A, it spells the same thing.
Right.
So no matter if they look at you one way or look at you another way, it's still, you're still dad, you're still mom.
That's right.
And you've got to be in that role. So you need to bring a support system around you.
That's true.
That gives you that vote of confidence.
That's true.
You got this, mom. You got this, dad.
Yes.
It's called the church.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's a legislative body that comes around and says, you got this. And that's what we need to know. You got this. So if we have, as a community now, right, we really are the essence of it. Not just the village to raise a child. It takes a community to raise a child, because there are inspired people around that can say, I'm here to tap into your untapped potential. Because if I don't, you become a problem. And then that's a whole different direction to go through.
Yes, yes. And I think we all can see the fruit of that.
Oh, big time. That's so good. Yes.
We can see the fruit of that.
Yes, absolutely.
When, you know, when I was growing up, everyone was your mom and dad, you know, in the neighborhood. And, and you walk differently.
Right.
You walk circumspectly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you didn't want them to see you doing bad, because they would tell it.
Oh,
it's like there was
no
secret, you know.
Don't tell dad. You know what I mean? Don't tell mom.
Yes.
You're so right. And so there's I would say two generations have missed that.
Oh, absolutely. They have.
You know, and there are obviously, you know, you have the people much smarter than myself and with a bigger, you know, higher degree and pay grade that that can explain that. But just from my own experience, we have robbed a generation of what it really means to know that, hey, it's good to be alive.
Yes.
I think they're searching for who they are. They're searching for identity.
I do too.
And so a lot has changed in the world.
Yes.
And so therefore they're trying to navigate through the tsunami of of social media, of you know, and it's also, there's a global opening that's happened that when I was a child, you didn't have that, you know,
right.
You had one phone that, when we had double line, I remember that, I'd never forget that.
Party
was like,
lines, yeah.
You know what I mean?
We had them, yeah, I do remember.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like, are you serious? Another call can come in, that mm-hmm. I can beep and I can click over. And
yeah.
It was the best thing.
Yes,
and then
we were
able to get a second line.
Yes, that too.
Whoa,
that too.
I was like.
You're right about that. Like a conference call, you
know
do
what I mean?
That. Yes, I do remember that, yeah.
And with a phone now, I can have 15 people if I want to on the same call. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a meeting.
And a meeting. It can do the whole thing. So they are exposed to more than what we were exposed to.
And less of God.
And less of God. Absolutely. Oh.
And less of God.
Couldn't say it better. Yeah, and less of God. And so I think that's what, not think, that's what I'm persuaded is parents. And any relationship,
right.
You've got to launch before you can leave. You've got to launch before you can leave. And so that is what. So even if you're a business owner, you want to make sure that the time that you have, that employee, that you know that you are giving them things to launch them with. Either launch them to another division in your company, launch them to another to start their own, whatever it is,
right.
Before they leave.
Right.
You know, and yeah. that's the goal. So. For me, with our youngest daughter now, it's hey girl, we gotta launch it, because here's the deal, your dad's a winner, your mom's a winner,
yes,
and so we raise winners,
yes, absolutely,
you know what I mean,
yes,
we raise winners, and so that's what we're doing, and so you got to get to a place of where you wake up every morning because of my daughter needs to know. Today is a good day to be alive.
Yes, you absolutely.
Know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought that up, because I wasn't planning on, but
well,
that
I
was
did.
Such
God
a great, yeah, that was just a great, great statement, you know. And
I mean, it was right on my phone for today.
Oh,
that's
my
it.
Goodness.
Well, I just opened up with that.
That was, and I took it, I'm like, okay, when you said it first, I'm looking at it, I'm like, let's write that down. And I believe that those who are listening to this radio program, Voice of the People, I believe that is the message for you today.
It is.
And I know,
wow.
And I'm because life happens that there
yes, it does.
Are things you're looking at and saying, oh my, with all that is happening in our nation, in our world, all that's taking place, let's not allow the noise to rob us of the voice of God saying,
there you go.
It's a good day to be alive.
It's a good day to be alive.
Man.
And I didn't know what you had on your mind when you came.
Nah.
We started one thing and we just went along with it. But, you know, I guess that's the way God wanted it to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because I was last minute. Oh, what's my thought for today?
Right,
and
right,
there it was.
Right.
You know, I was like, oh, okay, I'll just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have been preaching about confidence.
Yes.
I can't say the middle of an election. It's almost here.
Yes.
What, a couple of weeks,
weeks. Oh, yeah. It's coming.
The morale of the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
The morale of the people today.
Right.
Because we have been going through a lot with this COVID-19.
Yes.
And Dr. Fauci, I heard this on TV before I left this morning. He can't even go jogging.
Mm-hmm.
The morale of the people.
Yeah.
Where are we?
Yeah.
Pastor Rowan, where are we?
So it's interesting that you there, because I'm actually working on. I woke up this morning and I just felt the Lord to get a piece of paper and a pen and I wrote out what I believe is the view from how God sees things. I would say the heart of humanity.
Right.
And I finished doing that. Megan was saying to me, "You got all that in like 10 minutes?" I said, "Yeah, you showed me that." And what has happened is, I believe, is the fear of the Lord is missing.
Oh.
There is the fear of the Lord that's missing that honors humanity, right?
Right.
And so when you look at that, you got people who are very passionate about what they believe, but they're not emotionally healthy.
Okay.
And so when you're passionate about something, own it. We just talked about it's a good day to be alive.
Yes, yes.
You are making a contribution. But what happens is people are so passionate about something, but if mm-hmm. they're not emotionally healthy, they don't know how to respond as opposed to react.
Oh.
This doctor who can't even run is not an issue of people responding to COVID. It's people reacting to how people have reacted COVID.
Yeah, he's in fear of his life, his family, and all that, because he came with the truth that he knew of.
Right, and especially as a scientist, right?
Yes, as a scientist.
You know what I mean? And so I can't speak on behalf of the people who don't know God.
True.
Their reaction. But I would venture to say those who do know God would recognize that scripture will always trump science anyway. So our hope is in the scriptures. Our hope is in God is alive. It's a good day to be alive.
Right, right.
And so what we need to do is people are hot, if I can use that term or that word. And so the morale of the people is a definite reflection of the fruit of not having God. Or the fear of God.
Right.
Because the fear of God, it shouldn't scare you. The fear of God should make you honor him.
Yes.
And knowing the value and the worth. And so that's what's missing. I mean, how in the world can you decide to hurt somebody or bring harm to somebody, of taking of a life in every form, and not have to bypass the fear of God? And to go back to Adam, that's what happened, right? You know, right from the beginning. Hey, this woman, it was her fault.
Right.
So, hey, we're living this way because of his fault. I'm like,
it's what he said and what he made us do.
You know what I mean? And so it becomes a place of, and of course that is a very, there's a lot more depth to it than that, obviously. And the different sciences can argue over that, psychology, philosophy, you know, humanity and all those different things. But I would say, Mr. Lynn, to that question, the morale, it's we've lost the fear of God. We have lost that. Because honestly, what has kept me is the fear of God.
Oh, definitely.
That's what has kept me. And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's what it really boils down to. And that's why true transformation only comes through coming to know Christ.
Right.
You know, comes from that. So it's a heated election, obviously. It's a very defining moment in our nation's history.
Yes, obviously.
I think every election is, just because of the way that the system has been set up. But I do think that this one is very much, important, because you have passionate people that are holding on to truth as they see it. But if you're not emotionally healthy, you can rise up like Cain and open that door for sin,
which
caused him to kill his brother, right? So if you see it, we go back again to Genesis. That's what God says. Hey, why is your countenance falling down?
Right.
You know what I mean?
What's
going on? Aren't you your brother's keeper? And he answers the question, I'm not. He goes, where's your brother? I'm not my brother's keeper. And so when you get to that place, you do that. And so what I believe has happened is that the blood is crying out. All sorts of spilled blood. Single taking of a life, in every form.
Every form.
You know,
tongues and nations.
Yeah.
I mean, this is worldwide. It's not just here.
Worldwide. Absolutely.
You know, the pandemic didn't have any respect to persons.
Oh, no. I mean, obviously, we're seeing that. You know, we are. So I think that, here's how I summarize it. So I always go for the root of things. I don't necessarily want to be distracted by the fruit.
Right.
The fruit is the indication of what the root is. And so if the root is deep into the soil, you're going to produce a healthy tree. And if it's shallow, it has no substance, has no strength. So what is happening really is that this pandemic, you know, and again, it's the even the term the pandemic and epidemic, it's based on a certain criteria that has to be met, right?
Right.
And so it's been agreed upon by all world leaders that this is what it is. And so it becomes a question of how do I respond to a pandemic?
Right.
Now, my reaction to it, how do I respond
to
it?
How do I respond?
And that requires, I mean, I would say spiritual maturity, but that's limiting everybody. I think it comes down to our emotions behind it, and are we emotionally healthy? And you're finding that there's a lot of people who are not emotionally healthy at all.
Oh, no. Matter of fact, this kind of pushed a lot of people off the Richter scale.
Oh, big time.
Because of fear.
And there it is. That's where it comes down to, right? It's fear, and that never happened until Adam's eyes were open.
Right.
And God says, why'd you hide? No longer was the fear of the Lord. Mm. Now it was, I'm afraid of the Lord. I want to be clear on that. I never said we're missing, I'm afraid. I said we're missing the fear of the Lord.
Right.
But we have people who are saying, I'm afraid of the Lord. Mm. And so we're hiding, as opposed to the fear of the Lord that keeps us.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's what was supposed to happen. So Adam should have been emotionally healthy. Adam was created to be emotionally healthy. He was out of Eve was, but because again they took of it because there wasn't the fear of the Lord. What they feared was God had kept something back from them.
Right.
And so anytime we hear leaders speak, we get fearful because we don't know are you pushing your agenda? Are you being bought off? Or what's the reason? So mm-hmm. all of a sudden now, and that what leads to I can't go out to jog. Okay, what are you holding back from us? You know what I mean? What side are you on?
Right.
And unfortunately, science is just not the final answer. It is what we start with.
No, it's not the final answer.
It's what we start with, and you respect it.
That's what I'm looking at. Respect him, regardless whether you agree with him or not. And why threaten his life and the lives of his family?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean.
And that goes for everybody. I mean, everybody. I mean, that's what he got Secret Service around. President Trump, and they got Secret Service around, you know,
former
presidents, you know what I mean? And that's why they got to have security. So, I mean, and the reality is evil.
Yes,
and so
is.
When I woke up and he showed me, he's really showing the difference between, you know, what's going on. Let me share this, if I can, for the few moments we have, is this. My heartbeat as a pastor is not for the divide in the world.
Right.
Divided we fall. That's the world.
That's true.
That's just been the world. My issue is that divided we stand is the motto of the church. And that's where I think God's heart is. Nothing. God's heart is grieved.
In the
church. He sent his son. Yeah, he sent his son to die. That we can stand united. And the way it is now is that we stand divided. And so to pastor a church now, you're pastoring a church that is and when I say church, I'm talking about the America church. I'm talking about church, you know, not the church Jesus is building, but the church as it is. And so God give us wisdom. God give us wisdom. I'm working on putting together 4 prayer points that pastors need. That if I can speak on behalf of the pastors.
Yes.
There are 4 things that we need our congregation to pray for us as leaders. Because I think the answer is going to come through the church. It has to come through the church. It's got to be the pastor. It's not the politicians, it's the pastors.
Yes.
It has to come through us. We're the one that shapes policy. We're the ones that do all that kind of stuff. We are. We have a tremendous amount of influence as pastors.
Oh, yeah,
a
absolutely.
Tremendous amount. Now, people would want us to dictate that. But biblically speaking, we have that. And I think part of it really comes down to is this. Is understanding what freedom really is. Understand the concept of free. And if we can do that, I think you'll see less people, you know, doing those kind of things. So it's number one, we've lost the fear of the Lord. Number two, we are afraid of the Lord. And I think number three is that as pastors, we need prayer. We need to prayer for deliverance. We need prayer for discernment. We need prayer that our desires are good. We need prayer that our desperation is right.
I agree with you on that. And when the pandemic hit and it came to the point where the churches needed to be closed.
Right.
I knew then God was not pleased with the church.
When we had to close church, you mean?
The pandemic, because that is a like you said, it begins in the church. It ends in the church.
Sure.
You know, you are our leaders. And then it was like we couldn't be there.
Right.
In the midst of the congregation, you know, where we was used to coming as a body.
Sure.
You know, as baptized believers in Christ Jesus. So now churches were closed.
Right.
So if God was pleased with the church, I don't think that would have ever had to happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I think part of it, again, is the understanding of that statement that church was closed, right? Because it took that for people to realize, oh, well, the church is never
closed.
Something's
wrong. Right.
Yeah, and then I'm like, no, you're just saying that because you can't meet. It wasn't the essence of
no,
who we
it wasn't
were.
That. Right.
We were always supposed to be open.
Right.
So I told our church, I'm like, we're enclosed. You just can't be in the building. But we've always known that.
Right.
We've always known that. So
right.
That was just you justifying the fact that we've been sleeping.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now we can meet on this and meet on this. And I'm like, no, we should have never been in that position where they have
there
to say, we're closed. We've always been
there
essential service,
go.
Right? And so to me, them closing the church is an indication that they don't think the church is even relevant.
Right. So what have we been doing?
And that's
hiding
that's what
in
hurts
these
me
four
more.
Walls.
Correct. That's
hiding.
The part.
That's the part,
part
that bothered
me
too. Yeah,
because
right
I think it's we need to be inspired.
Yes,
if the church lived inspired.
Yes,
then
we're
we
not reaching the world
it.
Like we should.
We
gotta you
be
know,
doing that right. And so I think part of it is we need to stop and go right, and that's what I was
yes.
teaching on Sunday. Is we need to stop and go, and it was interesting, just seeing how God. Because I asked God, I'm like, God, are you seriously saying you don't want us to get? Like, is that what it is? And I literally think God.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage
that
from the Republican
good.
National Convention.
It was
with
so
conservative
good.
Icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 short. Republican yeah, National good. Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Quicken Loans Arena. And we are joined by
really
a conservative
good.
Icon. Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952. So you can count them up.
Do you think...